Hello and welcome to The Blurs, the Black Nerds with the Word. This is a podcast where the Blurs discuss comics, manga, anime, movies, and much more happening in pop culture. This is one of your hosts, Marcus Andre. With me, I have...
This is Drew, pouring live, Double D, Dirty Dwarf. Was good December 4th.
B-A-R-S, bars.
That rhymes accidentally. We chilling, got the Christmas lights on. The only bad thing is I'm covered in glitter, so like there's glitter everywhere, and just a light bill going up. It's that time of year, so I'm ready. Let's get this Christmas season. How y'all doing?
True, man. Kicking it. Big homie Kenny out here, Murder Moco. Like Drew said, it is Christmas season. I went through that struggle earlier this week and all that. Back and cleaned up today and all that. Get the snow, like the fake snow off the tree.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
All that. I mean, heck, it's all set up. You know, we put it on for a little bit of time, and like you can't leave that joint on the whole night. That's just gonna burn up your electricity bill.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, day four, no days off December. We out here getting this workout in, no days off December. We just in the gym. But off to my man, Just.
What's up, y'all? All right, new episode. I hope everybody's in the spirit and everything. Y'all got your eggnog. I don't drink it. It's kind of nasty, in my opinion. I had it like one time, and then I was just like, this is trash. But I seen it like being drinking on like Fairly Odd Parents, and that was why I wanted to really try it. But let's get it on.
It's all right.
Eggnog is delicious. You guys just haven't had the right eggnog.
Eggnog okay? Be slapping. I don't know what y'all talking about.
Yeah, it be slapping. Get that that southern I forgot what they call. No, get that Turkey Hill eggnog.
Yeah, see, that's what I'm saying. Like, yeah, that Turkey Hill be hitting.
Yeah, it's slapping.
Is it a drink that you could just be like, all right, let me get this. Like, is it something you can drink multiple times?
No, it's gonna fuck up your stomach.
I mean, I don't know about y'all. I got a strong stomach. I drink that drink when I get like sweets though. It's not like I'm just drinking the drink for breakfast or whatever. But
get you some tea.
Is that something y'all would drink with a meal? Is the question
like dessert? Yeah.
Dessert, okay.
I eat it with the main meal. I eat on Thanksgiving. Drink it on Thanksgiving.
So. I don't know about that.
I tried it like one time, and it was like when I was like probably like I don't know. I was probably still in like elementary school, and I was like, this is. I don't know. Maybe it was the wrong kind. I don't know.
All right. So let's get into news. Anyone have news this week?
Just about the. I mean, this came out yesterday about the HBO Max thing. I'm pretty sure you're probably gonna say it, Marcus. The HBO Max. Warner Brothers. They decided to drop their whole slate of movies that's coming out next year. Like they're dropping it strictly on HBO Max and in theaters as well. But you know, everybody's gonna go to HBO Max for it. So I know it's consists of the Tom and Jerry movie that we talked about. What else does it? Do you remember? Because I don't remember all the movies that they said. I know Wonder Woman obviously that's coming out at Christmas. They said some other. I think Space Jam 2 that's coming out on it next year.
Wait. So you said they're going to drop it on HBO Max in the theater at the same time, or just on HBO Max?
Both in the theater and on HBO Max. But on HBO Max, they're dropping it like simultaneously. All the movies are just going to be just put on there like it's albums.
Is that Space Jam 2 going to have LeBron in it?
Yeah. That's the one with LeBron and them new players.
All right. I think they're going to do something regarding Kobe.
Maybe
like a tribute or something like that.
I can see it.
Yeah, I didn't even think, but yeah, probably. Most likely. But I don't even know the rest of the movies that they're gonna put on there. I'm trying to go on top of my head, but it's a lot, like it's a whole bunch. Like new movies. So I think this is beginning of the end of movie theaters for real, because I don't see why. So for example, someone like me, I got HBO Max because of TV provider whole setup. So as long as you got like your login for your cable, then you get HBO Max for free. So I don't see what's the point of going to movie theaters anymore. If other companies gonna do that, then it's over for theaters.
Facts.
That's gonna be niggas gonna be using that to their advantage. You know, after a date, you'd be like, yeah, we can watch such and such.
Netflix and chill to a whole new level, bro.
Yeah, Netflix. Ooh, Drake, yeah. This is the future, guys.
I love it.
We need to embrace it. We just need
I'm
to
definitely embracing it. The only thing is, I'm gonna miss the whole experience. Like when you watch a movie on like it's open at night, that experience you're gonna miss. But at the cost for it not costing anything, pun intended, then I'm definitely looking forward to it.
Wait, what's happening? Like,
HBO Max is rolled into your provider nowadays. So basically, all the movies that you would see like Blockbusters, you can just see at your crib instead of going getting on clothes, going to the theater, then paying the price for the ticket, then after that getting charged a student loan to go get snacks at the concession. But yeah.
You know, that's true, but you know, I still like the experience of the theater. It's like a place where everybody like has like that moment for a good like 2 hours plus to like actually put their phone down and just pay attention to the big screen. Yeah, it's pricey, but still, like, that's just me. I love the theater.
I did too, but you know, these movies are basically free now. So you really can't beat that. But what else do I have in the news? Oh yeah. For Promised Neverland's second season, I saw that it's coming out in January, actually. It's like official, like this company, the studio put it out. I think January 7th, I could be wrong for the exact date, but I heard it's coming out January 2021. So be on the lookout for that. That could be an upcoming episode that we're going to review again, or upcoming season that we're going to review again. So there's that. And also, we got some good news for the show. We just learned this week that we on Spotify's Wrapped playlist. I know everybody's been posting those about what they listen to music, but they also had the same thing for podcasts. And we've been listened to in 5 different countries, which is crazy to think about it. I don't know what countries they are, but appreciate it. If I knew about it and I spoke the language, salute.
You the real MVP.
Yeah, appreciate the listeners.
Mercy, what's the name? Gozaimasu? Is that thank you in Japan?
Yeah, gozaimasu.
No, it's arigato.
Yeah. Arigato. Let's say arigato or something. Gozaimasu is something else. I was like, wait.
It's like morning or something.
Yeah. Gracias and.
Gracias. Mercy.
Mercy.
Oui, and all that.
Oh, wow.
it's anyway.
But that's it for me.
New shows coming out this week. Big Mouth just dropped season 4 today, so I'm going to watch that as soon as this is up. And also, Attack on Titan starts new this Sunday.
Yes, sir.
We are in, like as Sano said, the end game. We're going to see how this all wraps up. And the manga's still not wrapped up itself, but we are in the final 1-2%, so we will see how this all ends. So just get ready for a break, probably I'll say around February, because we still have to wait for this all to be finished.
Yeah, I saw a screenshot for Zeke and I mean, they already have like character designs and stuff, but like comparing it to the manga, it's literally just add color to it. Like I love that so much when they do that. So MAPPA's probably the best anime studio out right now. Like they got some heat, so I'm definitely looking forward to it. Can't wait. I'm gonna watch every episode as they come out, because I know they're not gonna put out the whole season just.
Now they go like, because they're not even done with the manga yet. So it's like I said, probably around
February. Okay, yeah.
They expect like they're gonna have like the 10 or 15 episodes, and then they're gonna go on a break. Let the manga finish, then after that, yeah.
I love it. Love it. Looking forward to it.
I'm hyped for it, honestly.
I really hope y'all watch it, because I'm definitely gonna talk about it next episode.
Yeah. I mean, I'm caught really up in the manga, so whatever you say what you need.
Yeah, just off the strength that last season was just so intense. So I'm just ready for this one.
Let's get into books. This week, the king is black. Black is king.
King in black.
The king is black.
The king in black.
The king in black. Why can't we just have a black king? He got to be in black. He couldn't just
be black. He ain't black, though.
That's racist.
He a pale nigga anyways with unseasoned chicken. He's not a black guy.
Oh, nah. Marvel, you guys need to do better with your representation. Say nah, Kenny. Go ahead.
I mean, hey, the king in black started this week in Marvel. It started off with the whole, like, whenever any event happens, it's always the whole, okay, oh, shit, we're at. Like, what's saying this shit is happening? We're already at shit's end already. Like, they called in Avengers, even called in the X-Men, like Charles sent in the X-Men from Krakoa. everybody was like, hey, man, we're going to take it to him. And then literally Noel shows up with fucking Celestial. Well, yeah, Celestials, I think the name of it is. Like, they're the beings that, in what's him in the new Avengers canon, like, what's him with the current run, they established that, like, Earth was, what happened was, is that a, like, a, what's him, a sick, what's him, Celestial had fell there, and that since it had failed there, its DNA fell into the Earth's core, and that's what caused, like, Earth to have all these superpowered and extraordinary individuals happen on Earth and everything. And Celestials were, like, Noel's first enemy, so he brought, like, those wrapped in symbiotes to the Earth, and that started fucking everything up, and then covered the Earth in a symbiote cover, and then took Eddie Brock's symbiote, and it looks like all hope is lost in the first one, but we all know that because it's a five-part series, so we'll see where it goes with that. Also, X-Factor and Helions, they're what's in dealing with the fallout of Exo Swords because the rebirth protocol is compromised a little bit because, like, what's in when people died, they either get an evolution or, like, their powers are messed up a little bit, so they're still trying to figure that out. But also, Daredevil, new Daredevil this week. I'm not going to spoil it because Marcus hasn't read it yet. New status quo. I'm just going to say, leave it there.
Ooh, she became Daredevil.
Yep.
Elektra?
Yeah.
The fuck?
Yeah.
I got to catch up.
Yeah. Like, I'm not going to go in depth because I don't even try to spoil it for you, but yeah.
Yeah. I one of the Facebook groups that I linked the Facebook page to, they were talking about it. And, you know, people always speak negatively of change and all that. But I was like, if Zdarsky is writing, like, I'm with it. I mean, care.
I'm down for the reason she's doing it. It's not like, oh, I'm just doing it for clout. It's for atonement, really, like, to prove to Matt. But, yeah.
Okay. It's kind of like the Thor thing, too. In that, when Jason Aaron replaced Thor with
Jane Foster,
the other Thor. Yeah. So, and that's probably one of the best Thor runs of all time. So,
what's the name of DC just started the Batman Catwoman storyline as far.
Oh, yeah. Let's talk about that.
And, I mean, it's like, it's the what's in the story's told across three timelines as far as, like, currently when they're together, that in the future when they're, like, grown, and that like, what's the name when they have, well, they're already grown, but, like, they have kids and shit, and that when they're, like, old. And it ended off, like, on a cliff note, where, like, we see, like, that old guy that Selena was talking about, like, Bruce is dead and everything, and it's like, that guy starts laughing, he turns out it's the Joker and shit, and I was like, I did not expect that coming, but it's interesting. I'm just interested to see how the 12 things are going to tie into each other.
I thought he was a bad guy, but I did not expect the Joker, though.
I was another.
Yeah. Another thing I wanted to talk about is Bruce sleeping with, what's her name? The Phantom.
Like, wasn't the one from the movie.
Yeah. But what is she? Is she just the Phantom? Like, what is she?
The Phantasm.
The Phantasm, whatever.
Phantasm.
I'm surprised he slept with her. So I guess him and Selena have, like, an open relationship since they didn't get married?
That was like, not during, but it was, like, they were talking about an established thing because they're pulling the movie canon into this canon and everything as far as, like, that movie that happened those years ago with the Master of the Phantasm that, because in that movie, he slept with her, like, all over the movie.
Yeah, but the thing is, when she came over, he told her that Alfred was dead.
Yeah.
And Alfred died during...
Currently.
No, he died during the Bane War or whatever.
Yeah.
And Bruce was with Catwoman when Alfred died. So they would have to been together when the Phantasm, whatever, when she came to the house.
I mean, like,
I guess they have an open relationship or something.
Something like that. I mean, in the current Batman run, they're not together. Because, like,
okay.
Like, what's him? He said, hey, I need some time to get myself together, get the city together. And after she said, I'll give you a year. Even though that shit's going mid, but yeah.
They just need to put them together. I really like them together. That's, like, the best thing in Tom King's run to me.
I'm okay with that.
I continue reading George Perez's Wonder Woman. This book just keeps getting better and better. Now, Zeus is trying to, he's trying to fuck the Amazons, to be honest. That's what he's trying to do. And he wants Diana because Diana just defeated Ares. And he's trying to bring her into godhood, but he has to fuck her first. And she like, nah, bro, I don't get down like that, you know? Like, I ain't going to do all that. So the Amazons are literally getting ready to, well, I don't know if they're going to fight against Zeus, but it's like a whole lot of House of Cards stuff with like the gods, because the goddesses that created the Amazons know that Zeus is on some fuck shit and that he wants to turn Themyscira into a brothel. And you got Zeus who wants to turn the Amazons to a brothel, and Ares is out the picture. And I just can't wait to continue reading. I also read Strange Adventures issue 7, also by Tom King, like Batman and Catwoman. And it is getting way better. When Adam Strange was abducted by the Pick people, they tortured him by kind of like sitting him different places at a like a rapid speed. So like one time he'll be on this planet underwater, then he'll be on a planet which is like super hot. And there's one time where he stops on Ron and he finally gets to see his wife and his child. And you think that the torture is over, but it's not. As soon as he hugs them, he blinks out again. So that was definitely cool. We also learned that Adam did kill that person in the first issue. He thought they were a Pick sympathizer or a Pick. So he just murked them. And the Pick have finally invaded Earth. And the superheroes are trying to stop the Pick by, you know, normal superhero measures, not killing them and stuff. And Adam is like, get out of here with all that weak shit. We gotta kill these niggas. This is a real war. And yeah, it's just getting really good. Did anyone else read anything this week?
Yeah, I did. I picked up One Piece today after a while.
Shocker.
So
Big surprise.
Let the man talk. Let the man
hey,
talk.
I want to hear about this One Piece. He got to tell them about the second part of One Piece coming up, though. He got to, yeah.
What's that second part called, Marcus?
Yeah, I got jokes, bro.
I think it's called One Piece of Trash. One Piece: Of Trash. That's the second part.
Y'all gonna start disrespecting One Piece, bro. Let my man Justin talk, bro.
Look at your face.
All right.
You're gonna have some haters for that one. I'm gonna let you know that right now.
I don't think so.
The One Piece masses is gonna come for you. I don't have to say anything. But So for the people who don't know, One Piece is a story about a young boy who goes out to sea, gathers a crew, a total of 9 to 10 people. And his goal is to become King of the Pirates. So I am, I'm actually not caught up in the manga right now completely. I am on the arc called Thriller Bark. And on this arc, oh wait, Kenny, I don't want to spoil too much for you. On this arc is basically like this is like a Halloween town, really. It's like the sun doesn't even shine here. The sea is made of blood. This is a place where he meets one of the 7 warlords of the sea as well. And he snatches people's shadows. So if they even go out into the sun, they're going to die. They're going to disintegrate. And they just actually brought in a new crew member. His name is Brooks. He is a skeleton and a musician too. You know, he sings really good music. I for one like his music, and I tune into it every here and there. That's what I've been reading so far. And I think I might make my own little segment on this point. You know, the One Piece part of what I've read each week.
All right, bro. I'm back with it.
You know, since Drew has Boruto,
ain't nobody hating. You go ahead. But obviously, I don't have anything to read. I guess we're on to watching.
What y'all niggas been watching?
I can talk about the latest Boruto episode. I kind of been pacing myself with Full Metal. I think I'm still in the third season. I'm getting closer to the fourth season, but it's definitely picking up. Like I said, it's already classic in my eyes, and I'm not even done with it. I still got two seasons left. But in terms of Boruto, this episode was very informative and very very interesting, actually, even though there wasn't, you know, wasn't a big fight scene like the last episode. So now, like I said, I think I talked on this last episode where Naruto has to face this huge decision on if he wants to shut down the Hidden Leaf, because he's now realized that there are car members that have, you know, infiltrated all the five great nations, including the Hidden Leaf. He knows that now. I don't know if y'all seen it, but in the Mitsuki disappearance arc of like a couple years ago, he's now realized that some of the people that are involved are Kar members, are Kar outers. And now he's like, okay, so, and I think he had this meeting with Kakashi, Tsunade, Sasuke, Shikamaru, and Sai. So it was like basically all the big, you know, names in the Leaf. They had this big decision, like, should we maybe like shut down the Hidden Leaf to try to weed out the weasels that are inside of the Leaf, and to try to figure out, you know, who are the car members that are inside the Leaf, and so on and so forth. So he was just faced with that tough decision. On top of that, we saw a meeting with Victor and Jigen. He actually showed up on the episode last week. So that was pretty lit. And it felt like Victor went to the principal's office because of how he failed his mission that he wasn't even assigned to, because he basically went rogue and tried to make an artificial divine tree, like I said a couple weeks ago. And but the thing is, this Jigen had no knowledge of this, so he was like, so, you know, what happened, basically? Victor kind of put all the blame on his partner, Deepa. And he said, you know, it was his idea to make the divine tree, blah, 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 which made no sense. But I guess Jigen took the bait. But in reality, I think he's going to let Cash and Koji know about this so he can, you know, put the head on him like he did in the manga. He basically told him, he was like, which was very interesting for the animators to say this. He said, Jigen told Victor, he said, if you want your dreams, or if you want your wish to come true, doing unrealistic dreams like this, like making a divine tree, is foolish. So he basically just like shitted on the entire Akatsuki, Pain, Obito, Madara, all of them. He was like, making a divine tree, it just makes no sense. Like, you have to focus on the vessel. And so now Victor's last shot to basically remaining alive is he's gonna somehow take Jigen's vessel, which we all know who that is. And I don't see how that's gonna play out. I'm very interested. I think he's gonna recover Deepa's body that's been shattered, but I don't think Deepa's dead. So I think he's gonna recover his body and try to find a way to steal Kawaki from Jigen. And if he does that in the anime, then it's really GG for him, because I don't see him living after that, which he won't, obviously. I already know he won't. But
how do you survive like the what's the same thing, or was that a clone?
I don't know. They actually didn't say about it. They actually didn't talk about it or like touch on how he survived him being consumed by the divine tree. I think there's an episode in like 3 or 4 weeks that's coming out called Victor's Scheme. So I think that's going to be, I think that they have to shed light on how he survived and how Deepa survived as well. But yeah, literally after the meeting, Victor said, okay, I have one, this is my last shot, I have to take his vessel. And I can't believe they even said that in anime. Like, that's crazy. So he's definitely going to die soon.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was pretty lit.
I'm waiting for Boruto to just unlock that Byakugan in that left eye, too.
You mean the Jogan? The Jogan.
Oh, yeah, he's already did multiple times already. He just doesn't have control over it.
Yeah, it's just not like solidified for him, though, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But in some battles, it has shown up, especially with Osusuki members and like beings. is showing up, but he hasn't. He doesn't have control over it, and Naruto and them don't even know about it yet. So
yeah,
yeah. It's not even the manga yet. So
yes,
yeah. Oh, that's the crazy part.
I guess. Yeah. I mean, probably. Well, 16 days from now, we'll know. But still,
yeah,
that shit might be it.
It's can't actually wait. Funny because we're actually really still in the early stages of the manga too. That's what's actually
Put this in perspective. This is part one. So this is like the equivalent to part one Naruto. We're seeing these godlike battles and all this like this huge information. So this is great. The time skip is gonna be peak anime or peak manga, yeah. Whatever you want to call it. It's gonna be peak content. That's gonna be crazy.
Yeah. Cause what? Yeah. Like 51 chapters so far?
Yep.
52. Yeah. And think about it, Naruto has 700.
Exactly. That's how I'm thinking right now. Yeah. So, okay. Let's see what's happening.
Yeah, man.
As far as me watching, Tosh.0 premiered its final episode on Comedy Central, End of an Era. It was a decent, it didn't really go out with a bang. It was a decent episode, wrapped up 2020, talked about all the downs, because I'm not going to say ups, because this year has just really been a down year. But... he had a lot of people from back in the day, like he did, like Web Redemption 4 come through, say what's up, say talking and all that. And after that, he said he's off Comedy Central because Comedy Central is shifting more toward an animated approach. So a lot of like live action shows or sitcoms and everything with people like are like, what's in real life, people are going away, which is ironic because they're overplaying The Office to death, which add me on this. This shit's trash. But going to the next thing.
Hey, no! I'm not letting it happen. I'm not letting it happen, bro.
I heard it at me.
No.
Nah. How many episodes have you watched?
10.
10
of the first season.
And you didn't like 10 it? Of anything that's on. I watched it all the way through. I gave it multiple chances. T to the R to the A S.
Nah.
You a wild man.
Wait, what?
You a wild man. I thought you
trash.
Were
he
a man.
He said the
of,
office is trash.
Trash.
Hey. I thought you were a connoisseur of comedy.
I am a connoisseur of comedy.
He's not.
My
he's
comedy
not anymore.
Is that joint's trash. But still, nah.
That's crazy.
It's one thing if you say, you know, the humor isn't my style, the dry humor, or like I don't really get some of the jokes or whatever. But he's trash. I've never heard nobody say it, trash. No, that's wild.
To be very honest, I mean, I don't think it's trash at all. I mean, I could understand if you had said, yeah, it's okay or something like that, but I mean,
you think wild, bro.
I'm gonna say it again. Trash.
No, that
anyways, back to crazy. Other stuff. Finally got around to. I've been putting this album off for a while, Future and Lil Uzi Vert. I finally listened to that whole album in a deluxe edition. Out of, I'll say, 25 songs, I found 3 I will listen to again, which is not good, but that's just what happens, and yeah.
Music-wise, I'll assume y'all didn't listen to Meg's album, did y'all?
I listened to... 3 songs off it, like, after that.
I can't say I have.
I saw this one video, it said, like, females forcing themselves to, like, Megan Thee Stallion's new album, and it had, like, the song said, I'm a big girl, I don't cry, bye, 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 blah, 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 and I was like, yeah, this shit sounds trash. But
it is very mid. Meg is a great rapper. Fever, I thought, was a good album. It was better towards the beginning. And
Fever and Sugar was on point.
I don't know about that. Meg is like a MC. I think she's one of the best MCs that can rap out right now. But that album really is not good. It's just not good. It's very commercial. It's like a lot of twerk music and stuff like that. And there's no real bars for us to connect. To like except the first track, which samples Who Shot You, which I thought was brilliant, but after that, there's so much shit that happens to Meg, and it's just like I don't know why she can't like translate that to
her music.
You know, the hard shit is cool, and you know, for the ladies, the in people that like that stuff. The twerk music is cool for them, but I want to connect with Meg, you know. I want to get something different, you know.
I mean, my thing is, it's like a lot of female rappers nowadays, not to discredit any of the ladies, some of them actually have bars, some of them can actually spit, and some of them can actually like we don't have to sit here talking about my pussy head game, twerking fucking this nigga and that nigga and all that other shit all the time, which is cool, but I mean, I'm not gonna, like, I don't need that for a 20 track album.
But go ahead. Yeah, I think that this is a situation where she's a type of artist where she's, her image is bigger than her actual music. And I understand, you know, her hits, they, you know, they hit, they atop the charts, but outside of the Savage and the body yada yada, outside of those songs, then, you know, it's like, what does she really have outside of her image? And I think it's just a situation where her image is big. Same thing with Young Thug. Like, he doesn't sell well at all. And neither does Meg. I think it's just his image, for some reason. I don't know why, but for some reason, his and her images are just bigger than with the, you know, people actually going out and like listening to it and streaming it. I don't know why. I think she has to change something, either the music or I don't know. But I think that's a big issue with her and other women rappers in the game as well. In terms of just selling. I mean, I haven't listened to the album, but I know her, it hasn't done well in terms of the numbers.
I mean, it was like second on the charts of like when it released. The album charts, I would say nowadays, it's kind of weird because sometimes like people you never hear of get top charts. And I mean, I know it's different types of music, but like they'll be number one for 1 week and that disappear like 100 spots down the chart like the next week or whatever. Cause like BTS was number one that week, and I mean, my thing is that's K-pop. People love K-pop, so I'm not gonna knock anybody for that shit.
I gotta bring it back to the Young Thug comment. I think Young Thug's popularity is, I think, is reminiscent of his talent. He brought something new to the industry. This like whining, you know, the I forgot what voice it is. The,
you mean Lil Wayne?
I mean, I don't see the Wayne comparisons that much.
I, like, you understand, when he first came out, I saw it a lot, but like literally he's like, he took the syrupy like auto-tune.
He made it his, he kind of made it his own. Yeah. And now he has some sons now. I mean, he got a lot of sons.
I mean, yeah, he's
gonna baby, but yeah.
He's one of the biggest influential rappers, you know, of this generation. I'm talking about in terms of selling when your album drops.
Nah,
it never lives up to, in terms of numbers, it never lives up to what he
So Much be. Fun was a great album.
So Much Fun was a great album.
Yeah. That
should have been at least Grammy nominated, in my opinion.
But yeah. That whole time, during Slime Season 2 and Slime Season, 3 was, up here. He had the streets on lock during that time.
He did, Slime, but sometimes he has albums, not, you know, excluding So Much Fun. That was his best. I think that was his best project.
That's just the best project.
Just general. But some of his stuff that he puts out will literally get like 20-some thousand sales. And it's like, yeah. you're a bigger artist than that. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about the content. Mm. Content is top tier in terms of just, you know, rapping, yeah. I think. But I think this issue with his numbers and same thing with Meg's. I'm not sure why.
He needs to respect my man Andre 3000's name, though.
Yeah, he was wild.
Hold on, what is? Oh yeah, never mind.
Yeah, I'm like, you talk about, I never listened. I'm like, nigga, that's the first nigga to ever be Justin in dresses. Don't even act like you ain't get that shit from him. You come from ATL. Don't act like you ain't never listened to one Outkast song ever.
So, this week for music, I want to say, listen to this album. It's an R&B album by Orion Sun. It's called Hold Space For Me. This girl should be way bigger than she is right now. Her music slaps. It's very much, it has like a folksy kind of like a vibe to it, but it's not folksy. It still has like a lot of soul in it and stuff like that. And she's singing about, you know, love, of course, but she's singing about death. And, you know, death in the family and stuff like that. But it's kind of weird when people make songs about death catchy. That's like a hard thing to do. you know, and, you know, losing people and stuff like that. I think she's a great songwriter, a great lyricist. So check her out. Her album came out, I think, a few months ago. Anything else for TV and music?
I actually did watch this movie called The Mandela Effect. I would highly advise, like, you guys watch as well. It's okay. Basically about, like, how, like, everybody always has, like, the same memory of, like, certain things that existed but never really existed. Like, you guys know the Monopoly Man?
Yeah, the monocle thing.
Yeah, which is interesting. Because I was pretty sure, like, he always had that. And another thing, like, even the movie pointed out was, like, even in Star Wars, people think that Darth Vader said, "Luke, I'm your father," but he didn't even say Luke or something like that.
Oh, shit.
Wait, for real?
I never thought about that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so crazy. And I was looking stuff up on like online as I was watching the movie. I was like, hold on a minute. I know this is crazy. I even looked up like the scene with Darth Vader and everything, and I was like, all right.
Because Luke is like, he said you killed my father, and then Darth Vader just says, "I am your father."
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. And everybody's like under depression. They said, "Luke, I am your father." It was like, wow. But it's a lot more in the movie, though, truly. Let's watch it. It's called The Mandela Effect.
All right, I'm down for it.
All right, so now let's get into Golden Boy. It is based on a manga by the same name. We're reviewing the first season of the anime. The manga was published and serialized by Shueisha from 1992 to 1997. The manga and the artistry was done by Tetsuya Egawa. The anime OVA premiered on October 27th, 1995 on Studio APPP. Yep, and finished on June 28, 1996. So what is this about? It's about this young nigga named Kentaro Oe, and he is 25 years old, and he dropped out of law school because he was so kick-ass with, like...
Wait a minute.
Kick-ass, that's a white...
You say kick-ass.
What is white America doing to me?
Kick ass.
Oh, wow.
I mean,
he's so good at educational stuff. He dropped out of college so he could do part-time jobs to learn other trades. So on his bike, he just travels around Japan learning new trades and doing jobs and everything like that. It's usually because a young lady catches his eye. And the job place where he goes to, they usually are dominated by females, or they have a female that is very good at her profession and he learns from her. And she usually doesn't like him at first, but after she learns that he taught her something, a valuable lesson, they come chasing after him after he leaves. So let's get into the discussion. Overall thoughts. Let's go Drew, Kenny, then me.
I like this pick. I don't know who picked it, but whoever did, it was really funny.
It was you.
Don't try to act like it was you, bro.
Stop the cap.
Continue.
It was a good pick, very good animation, a lot of comedy and everything. And like I always say, I say this almost like every like episode, but I love me a retro anime or even like a retro art style. It's just something chill, you know. and relaxing. And yeah, it was good to me.
This was an interesting choice. I want to know, where did you found this anime, Justin? Where did you first seen this?
Funny. My friend actually told me about it. Actually, I was over at his place and I was actually on my phone and he put it on. And then I looked up at the screen and I was like catching. I was like, hey, hold on, bro. What's going on? It's just like just one episode that's like this or something. And he puts on the next one. And he's just like, nah, bro. This is what he does. This is what he do, man. He golden boy. He golden out here. And I was just like, okay. And then it wasn't until like a year, actually a couple, probably like a month and a half ago, I actually really sat down. I was like, let me actually watch this whole thing. You know, it was like probably like 3 a.m. in the morning. I was just like up. I was like, let me watch like a little chill, you know, retro anime. And I put the joint on and I was just like, wow, this. I was like, wow, you know.
it's definitely interesting. I will say the main character, Kentaro, he definitely has a full resume. Like he's Mr. Odd Jobs, so there's that. I don't know how I feel about this anime. It's kind of stupid when you think about it, but I will say they do a good. What do they do a good job at? I don't know. It just feels like it's a anime that's like hentai before the actual hentai scene comes on. Like it's like, you know, you know how you're watching like, you know, porn or whatever. And it's like the scene before, you know, things start getting busy. That's how I feel like I was watching this whole thing. Like, I couldn't even watch it on I felt like I couldn't watch it on my TV. I had to watch on my phone just so that nobody would like walk in and be like, what you watching? And at the wrong moment, you know, but I don't know. It's something different. So I'll give it credit for that. I'm glad it was only six episodes. If it was like 20, bro, I would have dropped it. I'm gonna be honest. I would have dropped that joint. But you know, it's different. You know, I'm always up for something different, so I don't regret watching it. But it is what it is.
I mean, I don't even know where to begin with this shit. Basically, you're like Drew said, viewer discretion advised if you want to pick up this anime. Just make sure that you're either home alone or if you have people around, it's on a screen that can be like that small or whatever, because you see it all. You see ass, titties, coochie, all that, all in the screen out of nowhere. And you see this man just out here. He working for it. And after that, literally gets it, then steps off. I mean, I don't know why, but that's what he want to do. And some, for some reason, loves toilet seats and everything. But yeah, Justin, you a wild one for this. But I mean, that's just literally the whole thing. I mean, like Drew said, he has a full resume. I mean, heck, the man can code, he can cook, he can do election posters, teach you math, swim.
He can swim.
Heck, he can even make you a whole movie and all that, and CGI and comics and all that other shit. I mean, heck, the man does have a whole full ass resume, so he can do whatever, but yeah, that shit wild. Who am I, Marcus?
So y'all know what I'm about to say. I do not like anime that perpetuates like sexual harassment and everything like that, because it's a thing everywhere, but it's a big problem in Japan. Women have to beat some of these creeps off because they think outwardly harassing them is appropriate. And I think this anime perpetuates that several times. Namely, when Kentaro is swimming in the pool with the swimming instructor and stuff, there's no reason why his face should be in between this lady's crotch. It's just like...
That part was out of pocket.
Yeah. I mean, this man out here eat groceries underwater, then pop up with a fool.
That part
was
out of pocket.
Yeah, they could have just stopped with him fawning over the toilet seat and everything like that. That was kind of funny. But for him to act on these impulses and for him to like I remember when that lady got coffee spilled on her breast and he's like rubbing her breast and everything like that. It's just, this is sexual harassment in the workplace. Kentaro's characterization, other than that, if those weren't part of his character traits, he would be a pretty decent protagonist. I like how he teaches people and he learns from people and stuff like that. And on the surface, he seems like a nice guy. Well, at least he thinks he is. I also like to see women in I've never seen this many women in authoritative positions in anime before, like this many. And that's weird to say considering it comes from like this anime. What else? Not for me. I definitely wouldn't go into season two. Besides the sexual harassment and stuff like that, this isn't like my brand of comedy, even though it is funny sometimes. It's just not hilarious to me. Kentaro is not that captivating of a protagonist. So those are my thoughts. Second question. What did y'all think of the art style?
Like I said, I love retro stuff. Retro anime. I like how when he I just like the facial structures and how it would change and like how the animation will even like it'll break its own barriers. Like it was one where he was working at a noodle shop and everything, and the young girl was about to go out on a date, and she said, going out on a date, and he turned his back and everything. He was like, a date? And his whole face turned into like, I don't know, it was like scrunched up and everything. So I think they do a good job with this particular anime and the retro style that it goes for. So I like it.
I thought it was actually pretty good, especially on like the opening. Yeah, I don't know if y'all seen the opening, but the opening has like really good animation. I don't know why, but it does. Also, yeah, like what you said, Justin, some moments. You know, where he, like his facial expressions or, yeah, just some random moments that usually is just meant for comedy. They will have like some really detailed and really good like shadowing and stuff like that. So I would say this was good for, especially for a 90s anime. This was good animation. So I'll give him credit for that.
I like a retro style too. Only thing is that I wish they didn't go so detailed on these, like, the thing is that it gets me still is like how detailed they were on all like the female character of the episode, like how detailed they were as far as like the body figures and everything and the close-ups and all the other stuff, because I'm like Drew said, that's like right before the money shot and everything where like shit gets popping, and I'm just like, why? It's supposed to be anime, not just whatever. But I mean, it's a good art style. It's just, yeah,
it reminded me of Pokemon, so it felt nostalgic to me. It was a little smoother than Pokemon, though. So I like the animation style. It's cool. What is the next question? Would you characterize Kentaro as a millennial? I'll do this one first. If he's 25 in 1990-something, I don't think he can be.
I'm not talking about like
you're saying like if he's 25, if this whole show was based in 2020, is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay.
I don't think that's a valid question.
I mean, my thing is like, I felt like the reason why I put that question in is because like it kids kind of fit into the mindset. Because like, I mean, some people our age, like literally instead of like, I mean, number one, college is not for everybody, dropped out and just like working a bunch of odd jobs here and there and here and all that. And it's like trying to like do the whole find yourself thing instead of like just sitting down and starting a career, because they always compare that with our generation and everything and all that. But yeah.
Oh, so you're basically asking, does he have like the vibe or the like the personality of a millennial? Drive.
Yes, I'm not talking about like his age.
Like the typical millennial traits. Like, yeah. bounce from job to job. You don't really have a car, you know, stuff like that, I guess.
And at that, like, I'm just kicking it with it.
I don't think that's unique to millennials. I think a lot of people during the 90s were doing that. I think one part that is millennial in him, I guess, is like, I don't know. Because I think if it was us, we would – there's a lot of lazy millennials, but there are also a lot of productive millennials, and those productive millennials are changing the game with, like you know, what we're doing, like podcasts or, like, businesses, online businesses or something like that. And he's just jumping from thing to thing. He's not mastering his craft.
Yeah, but like I said, there's a lot of people our age who do that. Like, unfortunately, I say, like, the older generation always characterizes us as far as, like, what's in my generation that never wants to be, like, master your craft and be a little complacent and whatever. We're always jumping from thing to thing. That's what they're always saying for, like, people of our age.
Yeah, I can see the similarities in terms of the job hopping part, because there really are a lot of people that are in college, just got out of college, that aren't in their field, and they don't just job hop just to job hop like what Kentaro was doing, but you know, they just going from odd jobs, and it's not really what they want to do, but it's kind of what they have to do to make ends meet. So that similarity, I do see it. You know, outside of that, he's just a regular, just young person. But yeah, in terms of the job hopping part, I see that.
Yeah, like the job hopping, like, or like switching majors or something like that. But yeah, you never know.
Oh yeah, he did. Didn't he drop out of school? I mean, it's not for the typical reason. He mastered the whole thing, which is cool.
Which is crazy.
But yeah, in terms of the dropping out and stuff, you know, just the big decisions in college, I can see that, where you see a similarity with the average millennial nowadays.
Yeah. How about you, Jess?
I think, I can see him as a millennial for the job part and characteristic-wise. Because I think it's because, you know, we look at, like, the younger kids, you don't see, like, well, they blew up on YouTube in this such amount of time, but they're rappers at, like, age, like, 16 and everything. I feel like most times millennials are the ones, like, looking at the kids like they just came up. And or you'll just get out of, like, college or something, and you'll see, like, a kid just made, like, this such amount from doing something a little odd than the regular person who just got out of college and everything. And they're looking at them like, okay, that's what is my life or something like that, you know? So yeah. I can honestly see him being a millennial.
All right. What was the wildest episode to you?
I think the wildest episode to me was probably, I think it was the swim one, because this man came up out the water. Not only that, but he was in between her legs. And then when he got up out the water, he had, like, everything out and everything. And he was kind of, like, he was pleased about it. And he was just like, oh, you know, the beast in you was brought out the beast in me. You know, it's like, bro, you got to cover up, man.
Yeah, I feel like this is going to be a sweep across the board. I feel like there's no way you can say it wasn't the swim episode. That one was one I was like, all right, I just need to finish this show, because it was just so wild. Like, it's because anime is extra anyway, but that one just felt like it was over the top. Like, they showed everything. It was very, very vulgar. They might as well just made it full-on hentai, honestly.
I mean, it's tied between that and the first episode, because the first episode is still funny as hell to me. Like, when, like, he turns the server off, and that deletes all the stuff, and that she's stomping on him, that she spits, and this man has mouth open, and I was just like, hey, yo.
That part was wild.
That was actually funny. That was funny.
Like, I think that the first episode was actually the best one.
Like, he's sitting there, like, she's like, you. Son of a, and she like, and literally my man had his mouth open to catch that joint, and I was like, hey, yo, bro, that's just, yeah. But other than that, the swimming episode, because, like, they were swimming in the pool, and after that, they literally zoomed in on her from the behind angle, and you see, like, him getting closer and closer and closer and closer as, like, her legs keep spreading, opening and closing, and then he out here eating groceries underwater and then pop out with a full heart on. But, yeah, I mean, it's wild in general, but yeah,
I have to agree with you guys. It was kind of like, you know, when you're, you know, on Pornhub and you see the Brazier advertisement and yep. you see a nut ass dude basically do something like sexually assault a woman, and then she's like, oh my God, I can't believe you're bold enough to do that. And then she fucks the shit out of him. That yeah. was how I saw that moment. It was just wild. I did not expect to see that. Next question. Would you watch another anime that is akin to this, that feels like this one? Another comedy anime that is very sexual and raunchy.
Stop the cap.
Yeah, nigga, because you like it. You don't want to pick this one out. You don't want to set this shit up. Yeah, you don't want to think about it.
What you going to say?
He's sitting like, this is one milking my favorite it,
anime.
Like, he's sitting there milking it like,
He's like,
Like I said, this was introduced to me out of my friend, and I just watched out of the blue one time, and I was just like, it was wild.
But I mean, that's your suggestion.
That's just a watch that doesn't even put up in front of your homie. Like, you just out here, you in the crib, we just kicking it. Like, not that I don't know where it,
Wait a minute, what the fuck?
What the bitch?
Yeah, I suggested it. Oh, bro. Definitely. So y'all can see what I saw. But anyway, if I knew if it was like this one, probably not, no.
All right. I don't believe that. But go
ahead. All right, man.
Freak man, yeah, that's you.
I would say I would say no in terms of like an anime that's just like this, nah. But I do need to watch some more slice of life stuff, because a lot of slice of life stuff really is just pretty funny and stuff. But I just hate the unnecessary sexualization and the it just feels, because I feel like if it wasn't anime, if it was any other content, it feels just a regular show with actual people, if it was a movie. Even if it was a cartoon, I feel like it would have been canceled immediately. I feel like anime gets away with a lot of that stuff. I mean, of course, it was in the 90s, so I'm a, you know. But there is anime now that is that has stuff like that. But I feel like that's not my cup of tea, and I feel like it just needs to go. Like, it just needs to go. I'm just tired of it.
I mean, as far as me, I wouldn't, like, you can have, like, probably one or two moments like that, like, one or two moments I'm okay with. It's whatever. Because, I mean, old school Naruto used to have that shit, like, with the sexy jutsu and just play with people and all that just to laugh for a joke or whatever, for a gag. But the part that it happens so often, I mean, it's just moments after moments. You got a horny-ass, what's name, 18-year-old high school girl. You got a swimming instructor and all that. You got
She was 17.
But she was 17?
Yeah, she was 17.
I'm Chris Hansen. But anyways,
she was 17, yeah.
And you got an IT lady who out here dressed like, I mean, number one, Marcus, would you work there, bro? The first episode?
No, I don't like her. I didn't like her attitude.
I mean, I didn't like her attitude, but I mean, Shawty dressed like a stripper all the time, though.
I'm not, I don't care how she dressed, that's not professional.
That holds out the ass, too, though.
The one thing I did like about this is that they kind of captured the software development process kind of accurately. And I've never seen it that, because, like, other shows, they'd be like, oh, I could code up this program in, like, one day and does all this shit. And that shit takes months, you know? It takes months, sometimes years, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I mean, I fuck with that representation, like, how they talked about the coding and everything. All the GUI, the user interface, how it was friendly and everything. I was like, okay, they really are.
Yeah, they was even like, oh yeah, these coding languages, they're trash. Like,
yeah, this we is don't C and everything. Shit. I was like, I fuck with that.
Yeah.
But other than that, I mean, like I said, I would, if they had it for like one episode, like a gag, I would watch it. But other than that, the oversexualization wasn't cool. But I mean, it was cool at the end. All his hoes came together to help bail him out and everything. And it was like, hey, man, how you going to step up before you smash? But, yeah.
The moment I saw, I realized that Kentaro was 25 years old, tripping over this 17-year-old girl, I was done with this series. I was like, I'm going to watch it because I said I would. But I was just like, I can't do it.
I thought she was
Nah, she was 17. And she says, like, when I come of age or when you come back,
you can have my virginity.
You can slap these cheeks. And I was just like, this child is telling you that, you know. And I was just like, I can't believe this guy on it. He's 25 years old. Like, what is going on? Yeah, I was just done. Nah, I would never.
Yeah.
Let's get into ratings. For those of you listening, we use the Naruto mission ranking system. So that means we go from S, which is the best of the best. It's a classic. It's everything, to a D, which means it ain't shit. I'm going to go first. You know I'm going to get the motherfucker a D, because I don't like it. Yeah, I just don't like it. Sorry, Jess. Next person.
I'm trying to think of some where I don't. I'm trying to think of a scenario where I don't give it a D, and I cannot. It's a D plus because I do think that outside of the whole, you know, sexual stuff, I think that Kentaro was actually a good main character. He was very smart, and like he was low key like a goat. Outside of, you know, his, you know, desires or whatever. But I did think it was pretty cool the fact that he's just like, he's very just a free spirit. He's just like, you know, I'm going to master this and then I'm going to go to the next thing. I do think that's pretty cool for a slice of life. But just, it was just very cringe actually watching it. So I'm going to give it a D plus.
All right. Last up, I'm going to give it a C. Solid C. Like I said, I mean, it had some moments and everything and all that. I mean, like, I liked the ending a little bit, you know, sappy and all that. Jintaro had his moments. I mean, like, to me, like, it's just that, like, it was, first it was funny, then it came a little cringe, but it was still, like, some parts still catch me slipping, laughing. I was like, I mean, it was just some parts that was funny as hell. And then after that, the only thing I just, like, get rid of the toilet shit, that shit had me, I was like, nah. But
that was the funniest shit. That was the funniest parts of the episode.
The first two times, yes. But after that, I was like, yo, nigga, if you don't get your ass off a damn toilet seat. But go ahead, Jess.
I'm gonna give this a B.
A B? Whoa. Wow. All right. Go ahead.
Just because, you know, it was funny. Good animation. Yeah, it's a wild animation. It's a wild anime. And yeah.
All right, y'all. This concludes another episode of The Blurreds. Feel free to check us out on all of our socials, Twitter, Instagram, at The Blurreds Word, and on our Facebook page called The Blurreds. Please don't forget to subscribe to us on YouTube and like all our videos. Also, feel free to leave us a 5-star review and a positive comment. And y'all, message us. Tell, you know, comment on something. You know, send an email. We want to talk to y'all. We want to build a community, and we want y'all to be a part of it. So, you know, even if it's negative, you know, just, you know, if you gotta say something, we would love to hear from you guys.
In terms of engagement, I guess we got one thing. Remember last week you said you wanted to see what our people would say on their opinion on Avatar versus Naruto being a well-written show. Remember that, Marcus?
Yes, I do remember that.
I do have the results. I do have the results.
Come on.
So I did two polls, one on Twitter, one on Instagram. The one on Instagram, we don't have that many votes, but we have Avatar did win on Instagram. Avatar won 4-5, I think. So there's that. But Twitter was kind of a landslide for in favor of Naruto. Naruto won 75% of the votes out of 12 in total. So there you go. If you want to hang on to the Instagram vote, then you can go and do that. But more people voted for Naruto.
For the niggas, I fucks with y'all. Instagram niggas, step your game up. Yeah.
No, Instagram community, shout out to y'all. I see y'all real writers over there. Y'all analyze the show and really, you know, absorb it and then make a educated answer. You Twitter folks, you know, just tweeting anything. I can't really consider you guys' results, you know.
I Trump. But I will say shout out to the Three Hokages podcast, because they voted and they commented. They did say Avatar was written better. So, you know, I'll give you that, Marcus. But
why they called the Three Hokages. Them niggas smart. They smart over there.
Shout out to
y'all.
Take care, y'all.
All right, y'all. See y'all later.
All right.
All right, y'all.